A review is to be carried out into hip surgery, carried out on around 1,800 children after an audit found that a high number of surgeries at two hospitals did not meet the clinical criteria for surgery. An expert panel will examine the operations with the aim of letting parents know if their children had unnecessary hip operations. A report on a sample number of surgeries found that 79% of operations at Kappa Orthopaedic Hospital did not meet the clinical criteria for surgery. In the case of Temple Street, 60% of children in the sample did not meet the threshold for surgery, but still had hip operations. The report raises serious questions about clinical governance at Children's Health Ireland, which is part of the HSE, and the Chief Executive of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester, is with us now in our Limerick studio. Good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Justin.
Hip surgery is extremely painful, especially for children. It takes a long time to recover from. The audit published on Friday tells us that surgeries are likely to have been carried out on hundreds of children which were not necessary. What do you say today to the parents and to those children who underwent painful surgery and who might not have needed it?
Well, the first thing I want to say, Justin, is that there can be no doubt that the scale of variance that this audit found is of significant concern. It's by no means the full story, and we have to go through, as the auditor said, a series of further inquiries which will also be beneficial to children and families. But there can be no question that notwithstanding the outcome of those, the level of anxiety, the level of concern, and the level of concern which will prevail for some time for a number of families and children is something we have to apologise for. And we have to accept that this is a very difficult time for those parents. And I certainly, regardless of the views that might be expressed across different commentaries, I certainly want to say I apologise to parents that they have that concern because of something that's happening in the health service.
We know what happened now, but why did this happen? Why were surgeons at Crumlin applying one set of criteria for surgery on children, but then a much lower threshold was being applied at Kappa and at Temple Street? Why did that happen?
So as my colleague Colm Henry explained on Friday, what the auditor cites, and indeed what I understand the surgeons themselves have put forward, is that this was a novel procedure where the belief was that the surgical intervention at an earlier stage would prevent significant problems later. It would be referred to in some circumstances as a novel procedure. However, novel procedures, when they're adopted, and we do need them to create innovation and create improvement, but when they're adopted, they must be done in the strictest of conditions, with appropriate follow-up and with published papers that are peer-reviewed. And unfortunately, in this case, the extreme nature of the variance — the auditor accepts there is variance internationally, but the extreme nature of the variance and the rationale offered by some of the surgeons was not found to be reasonable by the auditor.
Yes.
And I have to take that as the basis of concern, no matter what the original intention was of the surgeons across these two facilities.
Okay, but then have you been able to establish whether the failings highlighted in this report are down then to the individual surgeons making poor decisions, or whether there was a particular culture or system in place at the hospitals where that occurred, which led to these suboptimal outcomes?
Well, we don't know yet the full outcomes, and that's why we, the auditor in this case, was looking across a three-year period from the start of 21 to 23 using a consensus criteria. We're going right back to 2010 when this novel procedure, as it's referred to, first came about, and also because 2010 is a marker of skeletal maturity for children, which they usually reach at 15 or 16. And so we have quite a bit to look at to see what was the outcome But the outcome we have today, Justin, let's be clear and let's not put a tooth in it. The outcome we have today is we have a significant level of public confidence question arising out of the variance that's found here and out of the governance issues associated with this and a succession of other issues in CHI.
You don't know yet, though, do you, whether this was bad decisions by doctors or a bad system?
It can be a combination of any of those, and rarely in a deficiency in a healthcare system will it come down to one single part of that. I do want to say what's important here, Justin. The most important thing is that these children are followed up. The auditor himself observes that, in fact, it might well be the case that many will be well and fine, and because this surgery is adopted partly in response to a diagnosed condition and partly in response to prevention of further difficulty for children down the road. It's quite difficult, it's quite nuanced, so there is quite a bit of work to be done. But all 2,259 children comprehended by the issues raised in this audit will be followed up comprehensively, and then there will be further expert assessment as to whether or not the surgery was actually indicated as necessary in each individual child's case. And that will be done in consultation with parents.
And parents will be told up front, will they, without having to ask if their child was operated on unnecessarily?
So two things will happen. Each child will be clinically reviewed to establish how they are now. And that will include parent feedback, child feedback and radiological review. That's the first thing. That will indicate whether or not a child has any difficulties today. That simply is a good practice clinical follow-up, which should happen, in fact, with any child who has this surgery. And that should happen before skeletal maturity. That will happen. The second part that will happen is the part that will be conducted by experts, most likely international experts, when we're able to identify enough to populate a panel to do that. And that will involve an option for parents to opt in to have a specific examination done to make a definitive assessment. Was the surgery necessary in their child's case or not, and whether or not there was any consequential impact resulting from that. That will be offered to parents. I want to make it clear, because I believe parents may have a confidence question in the overall healthcare system, and even though CHI is a separate entity to the HSE, is a HSE-funded entity, parents may have a confidence question. It's the HSE that will commission that expert analysis around necessity or not. And if parents don't wish to avail of that, but wish to avail of their own second opinion, we will both assist them with that and we will fund the cost of that.
All right. How long will parents have to wait for information about their children's cases?
So I'm sure you'll be aware that in the Dáil and in the media in recent weeks was reference to some 2,259 letters. They break down to 447 children in Crumlin who'll be followed up through the normal pathway, 1,300 in Temple Street and over 500 in Kappa. All of those will now receive further correspondence. That correspondence will start this week. I'm very anxious that CHI and Kappa do that in a way that's speedy but is also accurate, so parents will receive communication. They will receive communication about their specific hospital, and they will receive communication about the specific follow-up. It is likely that the clinical reviews, apart from any international experts looking at the question of necessity, it's likely that the clinical reviews, given the number of children we're talking about, will take somewhere between now and about a six-month timeline.
Okay. The doctors who carried out the surgeries, which are now under scrutiny, are still working in the system. They're still making decisions about the care of children. For parents who are concerned about that and who might be asking the question today, is my child's doctor one of the surgeons who made poor decisions about other children? What can you say to them?
I can say a couple of things to them. Firstly, the audit was not an audit of any individual's full scale or scope of practice. There haven't been any findings against individuals in that sense. The second thing I can say is that on the basis of what was known from the drafting of the report in this audit, I received advice in March that a new citywide approach was to be taken in respect of assessing children before they would be referred for this particular type of surgery.
So multiple doctors will assess each case.
So there is a surgeons meeting across all of the institutions now. By June, that will be populated not just by surgeons, but by a full multidisciplinary team of physios and others. And so the level of screening and the level of appropriateness at which the threshold for surgery is defined and met will be much better. That can be of greater certainty. And then finally, of course, where the further evidence will emerge as to whether or not there are any issues in respect of individual practitioners or not will be from the clinical review of the children, as well as the expert assessment of necessity.
Okay, yeah, because the Minister for Health said on RTE News on Friday that this report shows that the explanations given by the surgeons for why they carried out these surgeries were not justified, and it is now appropriate that the surgeons' employers and the medical council should now take appropriate follow-up steps. As the surgeons' ultimate employer, what is going to happen now in relation to those doctors?
Well, I've been on this programme many times, Justin, and where I am the employer, I think you know well my disposition towards the question of accountability, where it's fair and where it's appropriate, and I've discharged that several times. I'm not the employer in this case. The employers are CHI and CAPA, who are separate institutions under a separate statute. What the Minister was articulating was that she has a clear expectation that health employers would apply the same standards as I would in the HSE, and that is that the question of accountability is one which is fair and which is appropriate. And in that context, what I would say to you is this audit is most concerning. The question of accountability cannot be taken off the table. However, the audit itself would not be one which would ground or be grounding evidence to conclude that question. It is only after further inquiry that could be fully assessed or not. So to be fair to individuals, we do have to be careful not to be precipitous in that regard. But it is a question that I want to be clear. That based on the level of extreme variation here, it is a question that has to be kept on the table until such time as we have a full view. What's more important,
to be clear, you do want further inquiries to try to find out if there was fault to be laid at the door of the doctors here.
I want further inquiries, first and foremost, to establish how the children are. I want further inquiries to establish the necessity in respect of the surgery. In other words, that the condition was present. And then if there's element of failing or harm identified in that, two things arise. One, it arises to be assessed as a question, potentially for individual practitioners. However, it also arises here because, as I said at the start, a novel procedure is something that must be done within particular circumstances. So there are also questions that may arise in relation to governance aspects of the institutions.
Okay, and that's what I want to get to next. The audit was triggered here by a whistleblower who spotted the different standards applying for hip operations applying in different hospitals. Why did it take a whistleblower to highlight this? And why was this not picked up by the HSE or Children's Health Ireland's own internal audit systems?
I don't know in short, Justin. What I will say is two things. Firstly, it does appear that this particular approach of a reduced threshold for surgical intervention commenced around 2010. Clinical audit certainly wasn't as advanced then as it is now. Even with that, a system should conduct clinical audit. We need clinical audit to validate quality and so on. But also, audit can be triggered by, for example, complaints of harm or high surgical readmissions to hospital or so on. None of those were the case here. It was expressed by, as you say, a whistleblower. I think the one positive thing I would say here, Justin, is I'm absolutely delighted that when the whistleblower expressed the concern that CHI took the decision to conduct this audit. That does give me some sense of hope in the midst of all of this most concerning situation. There is no doubt that there are weaknesses in systems, there are weaknesses in governance, and that's why the Minister, who has raised with me a number of times since her tenure commenced, she has raised with me concerns about aspects of CHI, not because they're individual individual incidents or instances. They occur in any healthcare system, but it's about the collective of those. It's about the governance response to them and the disposition towards them and the apparent inability to get on top of them. And she has taken some decisions in the last few days, which I believe are well merited. They are significant decisions.
What changes then are going to be made to improve corporate governance at Children's Health Ireland?
So until the Minister considers all of the potential options that have yet to be decided about the future of how we deliver and structure specialist healthcare for children, she has taken the unusual step of making the appointment of two HSE board members to the board of CHI to strengthen governance and also to increase assurance, and that is a reach in. She has also asked me to increase operational oversight to support the new CEO of Children's Health Ireland, whom I have great faith in, but that level of oversight will be intense for them, but nonetheless it's necessary. She has asked me to consider what questions arise out of this audit in terms of oversight for CAPA, and most importantly the Minister hasn't left the matter at that. She is carefully considering all of the issues associated with the governance and the delivery of children's healthcare, because the new children's hospital,
yes,
and the scale of that and the delivery of that. So she does want time to reflect in the round on all of these issues.
Is the option of subsuming Children's Health Ireland back into the HSE being considered?
The Minister wants to consider all of the options, and of course, when she sets out all of the options, that has to be one that gets considered. But it is not the only one, so I wouldn't ask the people who jumped out. Can I just say, Justin, the job of the executive, the job of CHI, the job of the doctors and everybody else today is leave the Minister do her job. She will do that very well and give us policy direction. We need to get on with looking after these children and with supporting their families.
All right. I just want to ask you about a separate matter before I let you go, and that is about a report on the front page of the Sunday Times today by John Mooney, and it tells us about an internal unpublished investigation at Children's Health Ireland, which alleges that in 2021 a consultant who was treating children moved patients from the public waiting list to their own weekend private clinics and was paid tens of thousands of euros via the state's National Treatment Purchase Fund. The story alleges that this was an abuse of the NTPF and that children would have been treated quicker if they had been referred to other hospitals instead. What can you tell us about that story? What's your response to it?
Well, I can tell you two things about it. Firstly, the content of it is absolutely shocking. And secondly, I'm even more shocked because nobody has told me about it. And in the light of everything we were doing in the last number of months with CHI, I'm just quite shocked. And in fairness to the new CEO, that's not her fault. I'm not sure how much she has been told. I did speak to her briefly today. I believe a number of the issues around culture and other stuff that went on there were addressed because the report was about more than that. But I want to be very clear. I've asked for a copy of the report myself. I have said to the CEO of CHI that I expect her and her board, other than or save for highly personal information, that report should be published in the public interest. And I have made it clear that I reserve my position based on what I see in that report as to whether or not further questions arise. And if any question arises, can I assure you of anything connected with or near connected with alleged people ingratiating themselves financially in the public health system, the first step I'll be taking is to refer that matter to the Gardaí.
Bernard Gloucester, Chief Executive of the Health Service Executive, thank you very much for speaking with us from our Limerick studio today.